This is the As Far As I Know podcast.
I don't know.
Hello and welcome to the As Far As I Know podcast, the show where we outthink our feelings and satisfaction is not guaranteed. My name is Andy. I am joined again by my co-host, Mr. Fozzie Bear. Hey, Fozzie. Hey,
how's it going?
Oh, just peachy. And my good buddy, Matt Rose. Hey, Matt.
Hello, gentle people.
And it is...
That was very PC of me.
That was gentle, gentle's people. Well, we called you Trump last time, so you're just trying to rail it back in, I understand.
Matt really speaks his mind. That's why I like him.
Gross. Okay.
Made a wall.
So we are coming at you the very sort of smack dab in the middle of awards season, and that has left us with all sorts of questions. So, Maddie, what are we talking about today?
Well, like you mentioned, we are in award and reward. It's kind of both season. I mean, they do get some swag at those things. So it is pretty much impossible to escape the whole Oscar buzz, especially if you like movies, like we all three like movies, as we mm-hmm. discuss Star Wars ad nauseum in episode one. And
oh my God, episode one and episode one. I just put that together.
Well,
double entendre. Sorry, I just realized
that. We call episode one of the Phantom podcast.
Podcasting menace.
Oh my God, I'm so slow. I finally get you guys.
These are all terrible. Anyways, with that, like for me, it's always kind of like, what really weird looking artistic black and white film that I don't understand at all, but I'm supposed to pretend I understand is going to win. And it's just kind of an odd, like, mishmash. Usually, to me, it seems like of these artistic films, like, getting awards. But a little different this year because a bona fide blockbuster, which is very much geek approved and approved by myself as well, is up for Best Picture, which is Tom Hardy playing the lovable scamp, Mad Max. So
the lovable scamp.
He is a lovable scamp.
You think so?
And I do. Wouldn't you? How else would you call him? A fancy boy? I don't know. What would you call him?
I don't
him?
Know. Is scamp and fancy boy my only choices?
in this situation,
okay, I have a bunch of questions about this.
Yeah, just exactly like your online dating profile. That's the
exactly.
only two choices.
So yes, that's coming to you from the 17th century.
It's a drop down with lovable scamp.
Or Bear. How did Bear get in there, too?
A ne'er-do-well. I'd call him a ne'er-do-well.
Well, that actually is not. Anywho, so anyways, it got me thinking, us thinking, like, how often does it happen where critics think something is phenomenal and people don't think it's so great and vice versa? And what do we do to, like, define what is that cross section? Is it actually quite often where the Academy agrees with your average Joe or vice versa? And in other words, how do we define what is the people's Oscar? So I would like to know where you gentlemen stand in a little section where we talk about our feelings.
Let's talk about our feelings.
So Andy, what do you think? You are in the chair.
All right. I guess I tend to agree with you, although I can only think of one black and white movie that's won an Oscar for Best Picture in any recent time. Well, but you're from the 17th century. I forgot. So
right.
Listen here, this tomfoolery will not stand.
But yeah, I don't, I guess I tend to agree with you that there is a gap between the everyday moviegoer and the Academy. I think that's important, right? I mean, you know, if you look at the movies that make the most money every year, especially like if you look during the summertime and stuff, like there is some garbage that makes a bunch of money. And like my go-to example of this is always Grown Ups. And then as if we didn't learn, like Grown Ups 2 made a bunch of money. And I don't get, like, who are these people going to Grown Ups 2? Like, what do you have to see there? So to me, I guess, I think there is a gap, but I think I like the gap. I would guess that more often than not, the Academy is exacting different standards than the everyday person. And I think that's important because otherwise we'd be going to the least common denominator for movies a lot, as opposed to people like trying to do something interesting and innovative and, I don't know, make art.
You think it's a like big gap, little gap, kind of a medium gap?
I mean, I don't know. I can think of a few examples, but maybe we'll save those for our discussion here in just a few minutes. But I can think of a few examples where popular films have won, but there, I guess there are as many examples the other way. So my guess would be more often than not, Oscars are pretty academic as opposed to people-y. I think
people-y.
That, yeah.
All right.
I think the Academy kind of operates on its own, and that generally speaking, if you're an everyday moviegoer, you can't count on the Oscar to pick the thing that you liked best, which unfortunately would mean that Mad Max probably doesn't have a big shot, even though I really liked that movie as well.
Well, I mean, guitar, flamethrowers, come on.
Well, you don't see that would be the first movie featuring a flamethrowing guitar to win an Oscar.
No, Whoopi Goldberg did that in The Color Purple.
Oh, crap, you're so right about that.
Yep.
Every time I forget about that scene.
That was the best scene. I cried at that scene.
What about you, Fozzie? What do you think?
I don't know. I just think I kind of disagree with you. I think we're going to have some overlap, but I feel like people like good movies in general. Like, people like quality, but that quality is really vast, you know? Like, Mad Max, I didn't particularly like Mad Max. However, I'm not going to say it's a bad movie. It's obviously a really good movie. It's just like, I don't like car chases much. I have that thing, that condition where you think you can smell people that you see on TV. I don't know what it's called, but just
it's called crazy.
Yeah, maybe.
No.
But the whole time I was just like, oh, this is so gross. And they all smell like pee and sweat and like they have crusty buttholes. And
you
I couldn't
like
stop
watching dirty people or car
I
chases.
Do not. I can't stop focusing. And with a car chase, it's always like, oh God, they're gaining on us. Go faster. And I'm like, why don't you just always go faster? If that's your solution, just always go faster
because
and you're fine.
Storms.
Yeah, well, don't get me started with sandstorms.
Lightning,
those smell
sandstorms
as well. No, not for me. So again, beautifully made movie, and I understand why it got all the success that it did. It's just not for me. So I'm not going to say that's a bad movie. And movies that the Academy rewards, like The King's Speech, I'm thinking of like recent ones, and the Frenchman, the black and white Frenchman, who's
the
not
artist.
A mime. The Artist.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The Frenchman.
Yes. That's what
the
it's called.
The Lovable Scamp.
Right.
In black and white.
That's going to be our script. Don't give it away. So those movies, again, not for me, but good movies, I'm sure. Like, I don't think they're just rewarding something because of the way that it looks or it has, like, falls into an Oscar category.
Yeah.
I think whoever saw it, legitimately likes that movie, and there's probably a reason. I don't like it for some one reason or another, but I think it's good. Like, I saw Anomalisa, which was nominated this year for Best Animated Film.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people think that what is stop motion animation is like charming and really innovative and it looks great. I just find it stupid. I can't get around like, oh, this 2 second scene took 9 weeks to film. And you know, I can't stop thinking
they
about
did it
that
in a shoebox, to be fair. So
well, that's the thing too, when they build it. So that movie is set in a hotel in Cincinnati. This guy goes in and the hotel room that he's in is so ridiculously detailed down to the thermostat. You can see it from across the room. It has numbers on it. And like there are little towels that are folded. And I'm thinking like, what a waste of just fucking get a room. Just rent a room for like a week at the Marriott and you're good. But they built this entire set and people like painted it with little tiny chopsticks.
It seems like they use paintbrushes.
No, like tiny little toothpicks. Didn't you do that when you were a kid so you could get like paint on a grain of rice?
Mm.
Yeah,
no?
It's called a tiny paintbrush, actually.
Padme was my master son, so that's what I did.
I was gonna say, what kind of crazy Zen stuff were you doing where you were painting grains of rice with chopsticks?
I have a very exclusive training. Right? I caught so many more. Yeah, that's how you catch flies. It's not with sugar or vinegar, it's with chopsticks. I'll have you know.
I thought it was painted rice. That's what
So what you're saying is that the things that the Academy rewards with awards are often not things that an everyday moviegoer would recognize or consider
quality. Yeah, necessary. But I do think they're good movies, and I think that movies that have achieved success with, there's a lot of movies that were really highly rated, like Silence of the Lambs was a huge hit when it came out.
Yep.
That got Best Picture.
Yeah.
But going back a little, The Color Purple, huge hit. That movie ran for months, or almost a year, I think, or over a year. That was when movies just ran for years.
Right.
So a lot of times there is an overlap between like what the people like and what the Academy likes, but it's not always there. But I don't think that like bad movies are rewarded just so they can be Oscar-y. I think they're actually good. And we know a lot of critics too.
Yeah,
Andy, sure. Critics are just people. You know, they're just like you and me. We hang out with them all the time. And so they're just the same as us. I don't know why you're disparaging them. So.
Well, no, I just think that as like when you put your critic hat on,
is that the problem?
They might be. Probably
not. I just think when you put your critic hat on, I think people tend to look for different stuff than. Yeah, I think people who are critics tend to look at and applaud different things than people who are everyday moviegoers. I think it's less of a deal now, maybe. Well, I don't know if that's true. I was going to say, I think maybe the internet has changed that a little bit because there's more room for opinions. But then at the same time, I think that it's equally popular to be, or perhaps more popular to be contrarian now than it ever has been. So,
oh God, you're right about that.
So I don't know. So basically what you're saying is you don't think that, you think because good movies are decent movies, period, that there's not that more often than not, there's not a big gap.
Yeah, and I guess also what I'm ultimately saying is that good movies are rewarded by either dollars or fan adoration or awards. So I think that that's all good. It might not necessarily be dollars, but it's all people who like movies in different forms.
Yeah,
right. And I would say there is a big gap.
Like, oh, so everybody's against me. Great.
Well, I'm just saying. I feel like there's a big gap. I mean, you know, if we actually, you know, took time and figured out data, I mean, if we had some way to do that.
If only there was like an audio show that I could get on the internet.
But I think you're on to something there, Andy. That's a good idea. Really.
All right. All right. So in an effort to possibly, to vindicate Fozzie's opinion. what can we, I mean, so Fozzie, you just mentioned, you know, like dollars are a sign of adoration or a vote for quality. And I think that's true. I mean, I think that it's not the only one. I mean, like we discussed last week, like The Phantom Menace led the box office the year it came out, right? Like, so like in retrospect, that wasn't a huge vote for quality, but you know, at the time people certainly liked the movie. Star Wars in the theater was something they were going to go see regardless. Like there's that kind of thing. So I don't think it's the only thing, but I do think that if we're looking at movies that have won Oscars and we're trying to determine how popular they were with everyday people, how much money they made at the box office in that year, you know, relative to the other movies that came out that year is probably a pretty good, I think you're right on. I think that's a good way to look and see, like, you know, were they, you know, is that something that people liked? You know,
because
a shit movie just doesn't make any money. Like, I mean, I'm going back on what I said, but a movie that is like, not popular, right? A movie that people don't like doesn't make a bunch of money. You know?
Yeah. Like you always come back to Grown Ups too, like being like you're confounded. How could this make any money? But I mean, there's a lot of people in it that obviously have a career that I don't really follow, like Kevin James, Adam Sandler, that skinny blonde guy, the black guy, the tall one.
Wow. Right.
The slightly nerdy one.
Right? Yeah. All those guys. So we don't really follow their career, but I think they're talented guys. It might just not be our thing. And I'm sure that maybe that movie, I'll never see that movie, but I'm sure there's got to be something there that people like. People can't just be stupid.
I just can't. I mean, I just don't know, man. I mean, like it is, it's just, it's a film where those comedians were like, you know what's fun? When we get together and act like little kids. So let's write a script, or rather let's have someone write a script that allows us to act like children. And they did that in Grown Ups, and that's fine. I mean, it's not my thing at all, but, you know, it was its thing, and it did its thing, and you know, it wasn't critically acclaimed, but it did all right when it came out, etc.
All right, it did really well. Didn't it break the box office for the weekend? And
did it really?
I think it was number one for several weeks, wasn't it?
I mean, but that's the thing is, like, people go to movies for different reasons. And I think you guys already hit this a little bit, is that some people just go to the movies to see like or some really stupid comedy. Like some people's like watching videos of people smashing into fences and racking their nuts on stuff. I mean, like some people are just into that.
Oh God! Just the thought of it.
So that's true. But I guess my point is that, like, what I guess my question is, I don't understand what the. I mean, like, sure, stupid jokes. But Grown Ups was okay. So Grown Ups was second when it came out. Second, its opening weekend behind Toy Story 3,
which was huge.
Yeah,
the that was quality. Movie that was up for, I believe, an Oscar, was it not?
Yeah, it was. The following weekend, it stayed behind Toy Story 3, but Toy Story 3 and Grown Ups were 3 and 4 to two new films that came out. I'm talking about weekend gross not necessarily being a measure of quality. Number one that week was Twilight Eclipse, and number two was The Last Airbender.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, you know what is interesting about that, actually, though, and I don't know if we can work this into our metrics or not, but it would be interesting to see. So you brought up Phantom Menace, and I bet you Phantom Menace had a huge box office opening, mm-hmm. and or the same thing with Airbender, because everybody thought it was going to be good. They went and saw it, and it was complete crap, and there's a huge drop-off. It would be cool to see that inverse versus a movie that maybe didn't have a huge box office opening or actually went up from word of mouth because people kept saying to their friends, this is a great movie, you need to see it, or at least even stayed flat. I think that would be a cool inverse to see because I think that might be
quality of a movie. Part of it comes from the theater count too, right? So that can be a little bit artificial because of what movie theaters think is going to happen the following week, right? So that's not to say it's not a good idea. I think it's just it could be a.
You just said it was a bad idea. I get it, Andy.
No. I just think it isn't. it isn't like the. I don't think it's super clear. I don't think it's a be all end all metric, but I think it.
No, I don't think so either. But I think there is something to tell if a movie stays flat or doesn't have as big a drop off.
Yeah. Well, so I mean, I'm just looking at to kind of prove your point a little bit. I'm looking at let's see. Let me back up here. So The Kids Are All Right, which was that Focus Features movie with Mark Ruffalo,
wasn't it?
Yep, yeah.
The Hulk, I like to call him.
Yeah,
right.
So it's just what you call him now. Yeah, it had Julianne Moore and Annette Bening and So it was kind of an acclaimed sort of personal drama. It debuted at number 15 in the box office. The next week. It was at number 12, and it was up 116% from the week before in terms of what it made. The following week, it was at number 11, and it was up 144%, right? And so it starts to taper off a little bit after that. It's up only 35% the next week. But you're right, like, what's the film? I can't even find it on the list now. What was the film I was just talking about that was so bad that came out that year?
The Last Airbender.
Yeah, Airbender. This is 8 weeks after The Last Airbender has come out, and it's way down the list. So, like, you know, there is something to be said. Like, The Kids Are All Right has passed The Last Airbender in the box office at this point.
Couldn't you solve the screen problem by looking at money per screen?
Well, maybe. But I think that, I mean... To that point, like that week, the week where The Kids Are All Right passed The Last Airbender, it gained 646 theaters. The Last Airbender lost 889. So, like, there's a lot of, I mean, like, I think that it's, you know, that maybe it's just that those two things coincide, and it's not quite so much that one dictates the other. It's just that they,
right,
you know, they're gonna be similar. So, I mean, yeah, that could definitely be something to look at to see which movie. Sort of earned its way up, you know, which Oscar movie kind of earned its way up. I don't know how much of a thing that is anymore, really, just because, I don't know, it seems to me, and Fozzie, I'd be interested to hear what you think about this, but it seems to me that, like, now there's two kinds of Oscar movies. There's the one that we know about well in advance that, like, like the Revenant as a as an example for this year, right? Like I knew that when that was coming out that it was a tour de force performance from Leonardo DiCaprio. Like before I knew anything about the movie, I knew that this was another opportunity for Leonardo DiCaprio to get an Oscar, right?
Yeah.
And a bear fight.
Well, that and that's the second thing you learned about the movie, right? But then the other type of Oscar movie is there's always one or two that are nominated that like we all scramble to figure out like what the hell is that movie, and like we're supposed to pretend like we'd heard about it before now or whatever when it's like not like August Osage County. I still don't know what that is, right?
Oh, and yeah, there's
like good people in it, like I get, or like Winter's Bone a few years ago or whatever. I was just
there's
like,
one of those this year too, that one with Breaking Bad. Timbo, Tombo, Trumbo. I knew it sounded like an elephant. I couldn't remember which one. But there's that movie that like got he got nominated, Topsy? I think. No, it's Trumbo, right?
Trumbo's the
name of the Topsy movie. That's the name of the elephant. Oh, you made me sad. I just remembered that. That was the elephant that not Einstein. Edison electrocuted.
Oh,
did you ever see that video?
See, that makes me laugh because there's a
Bob's Burgers,
of course,
around that, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, but it still makes me sad. Yeah. But no, Trumbo is that movie that I think is that Best Picture? Is it nominated for Best Picture this year, or is he just nominated for Best Actor? I don't really remember.
Not Best Picture,
but it snuck in there, and nobody's heard of that movie. People are like, "This is a movie." So yeah, there's totally those, Andy. Yeah. They come up every year, but I think awarding a movie like that is a firm indicator of the quality of a movie, and I think that would make it popular among people. So sometimes it works in the inverse; it works both ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what would be some comparison. Now you're the math guy. I think this would be really helpful to find some kind of boost from theater viewing to post-Oscar DVD sales, or even post-Oscar screens.
Yeah.
Like, see,
well,
how
I think a lot of that would depend on when the movie came out, right?
Because, yeah,
like, if it came out earlier in the year, like, most Oscars are out, like, you know, in November or December, right? Most Oscar movies are out. But in the case of popular movies that win Oscars, I think that they're going to be out in the summertime mostly, right? And so, well, I mean, that's not maybe not necessarily fair, but I think that more often than not, you're talking about movies that are released in the summer that are going to be people favorites and where the overlap is going to be, right?
So you're just going to argue with every one of our suggestions tonight. Is that what you're going
to
do?
No. I'm just trying to think it through. This is what I do, man. This is my wheelhouse.
Fozzie,
let's have a discussion without Andy and decide. Right? No, I'm just kidding.
Let's be positive over here instead of negative Nancy over there. Negative Nandy is what I'll start calling him. So what I'm saying, I think there's got to be some correlation between even Oscar announcements and a movie starting to do better at the box office, like doubling their box office the next week. So you could look at that as one set of information.
Yeah, like, and then post-nomination even? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even not even a win, just a post-nomination, like how much better it does, because obviously that means that people start to like it. And then I don't know how you could correlate that to, like, you know, what very popular movies, but you're the math guy, so
what do we do about the gap between release dates? So, like,
yeah, that'd be
like
tough.
Mad Max. When did Mad Max come out? Hang on, I can look this up for Mad Max.
Max came out.
Like we saw it.
It was a while ago. Yeah, that was May of last year. Summer.
Mad Max Fury Road.
I feel like it was the summer sometime.
So let's look at this as an example. So it came out May 15th. Okay.
Oh man, I nailed that. Okay.
So it up to nominations made $153 million.
Mm-hmm.
In 3,700 theaters. So that's big in both cases, right?
Right.
I mean, 153 million is not like enormous, but it's, you know, it's some.
Yeah, I would be happy with that. I'd be fine.
Yeah, right, exactly. Post-nomination, it made nothing. It was in no theaters, right?
Right.
By the
right.
time the nominations came out, like, it was out of the theater, and it didn't get another run back in or anything like that, right?
Right. But I think, so I don't know if I'm explaining it well, but I don't think we need to do every movie. I think we need to see if you're trying to say that the Oscars and something popular is different, right? There's a big gap. So why don't we say, like, a movie that was nominated, if it started to do better with the people?
Okay. Yeah. I see what you mean. Yep.
Okay. So we don't have to look at all the movies, just, like, look at some that were out.
Maybe some of those ones that we were just talking about that we never heard of before.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
How about, like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were done going.
Okay. So here's a very good example. Because I just brought up August Osage County, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think you just made that up.
No, it's a movie. About. It's a movie. It was 2013.
A play. Yeah. I think it was a Pulitzer Prize winning play or something. It was like one of those ones that was lauded for years as being brilliant on stage, and they're like, "This will make a great movie," and it made an okay movie.
This is up for Best Picture.
Not this year.
This is years ago.
This is in 2013. Okay. Yeah.
Meryl Streep and Julia Roberts.
Yep, exactly.
That's ancient. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Back when everybody was dandies and had monocles and top hats.
Well, so when it came out on December 27th. So, you know, you're talking,
it's
close to the end of the year, but it's also like, you know, Star Wars release time, right? Like, it's not the end of the year, but, you know, there's a week or so left. Mm-hmm. It was in 905 theaters. It made $9 million up until its nomination. After its nomination, it made $27 million. Now, some of that is just going to be, because it was, you know, longer, you know what I mean? Like, there was a longer time, but after its nomination, it was in 2,400 theaters.
So maybe that would be the indication.
How much did it make per screen is what I think you still go up to is, like...
Right. Either that or how many more theaters did it open to after an Oscar nomination? Like, from just being a small movie that nobody really cares about that's like an Oscar movie, quote-unquote, to having name recognition and opening on theaters so people... could see it. See what I did?
People in there. Yeah.
So I worked the word Oscar and people.
You worked really hard.
I'm so tired, you guys. Oh, God.
Take a nap there. I mean, I think there's some stuff we can do to measure.
How about, like, the People's Awards or People's Choice Awards?
People's Choice Awards, yeah. That's not a bad idea. We could see, like, how frequently an Oscar wins a People's Choice Award.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's smart. That should be the only thing. We're good.
That should just be it.
Just look that up right now.
Yeah. No, I don't think that should be it. No, because
I'll admit I'm ignorant. Like, I know they're called the People's Choice, but I don't know, like, how they actually.
I think you have to. Choose. I think you have to, like, subscribe for the TV Guide to come in the mail. And then that's how you get to vote on the People's Choice Awards or something.
I'm serious. Like, I'm dead serious. Like, who gets to decide? Like, I'm not voting for those.
That reminds me. Have you guys ever met a Nielsen family? I went to school with a girl who was a Nielsen, she was a Nielsen. Her family was a Nielsen household, and I was fascinated with this girl. I think her name was like something Poe, Deborah Poe.
Wait, are you just a Nielsen family for like forever?
No, this is when I was in junior high. She still is.
Yeah,
Know.
Did it last a long time for her? I always presumed
that
was just like
a box or something, don't they? And it like.
I just always thought that was a very short-term thing, but I guess
it
I don't
might
know.
Have been. I mean, I only knew her for like a year in junior high.
Okay,
so it was during that year that I was fascinated with this woman. That she was a Nielsen family. I know that's totally unrelated to what we're talking about, but I wanted to be her best friend, and I wanted her to invite me over to watch movies and TV,
so that you could have a say.
Yeah, I just wanted to put Misfits of Science on every Saturday night.
We could save ratings. This if we work together.
SOS, save our show.
I don't know who votes on the People's Choice Awards, but we can look at that. I mean, it's worth
the people, obviously.
Right. Well, clearly the people. Well, the people choose that they could do it in some way other than voting, maybe.
And there might be other awards out there that, like, I mean, I know this is a little sketchy, but is there like a publication out there that like does some sort of poll or something that would be worthy of looking at?
Well, I think that we could look at user ratings from the same sorts of sites that we've looked at before, right?
So that makes sense too,
You know, because that's you know, people who care to voice their opinion about the movie, voicing their opinion about the movie. So that, you know, that's not, I don't like to look at that only, but that plus box office usually gives you a pretty good idea of how, you know,
how
popular a movie is.
If you're talking about something like that, don't our good friends over at Rotten Tomatoes, don't they do something like that on the site? They have like the critic score and the meta score.
There's a couple of when I compute our as far as I know score, I grab a couple of those user scores. So that way, the different ways that they kind of calculate them and what they exclude and all that.
You mean
stuff.
A couple different sites, like right?
A couple different sites, like Metacritic, like Rotten Tomatoes.
Got it.
IMDb has Metacritic still, so yeah. I mean, it's those two plus those two critical ratings, and then a slew of other things that we can throw in that are not on every movie, but can help us sometimes when we're looking at a small group like this.
Okay, good. So what I said
by
was
the way,
right. Thank you
I
for your
found
positivity.
Out who can vote for People's Choice Awards.
Oh, who
is it?
Anyone.
It's online.
It's on the web. You click vote and you start clicking on what you want.
Oh, are you doing it right now?
Are you voting for them right
yes,
now?
Yes, I am.
I have my doubts about People's Choice Awards, but we'll save that and talk about it when we bring maybe
right
I'm
in,
wrong. Maybe
right
I'm wrong.
In Misfits of Science. Maybe we can bring it back.
So save it with a People's Choice Award.
I mean, they brought X-Files back. Maybe they'll bring that back. It was almost
already,
as big of a
it's
hit.
It's already done this year. I didn't even know that. See, that's how in tune I am.
There's one more episode. This was the fifth episode this week. By the way, did you watch it?
Wait,
are you talking
about Misfits of Science?
Yeah. No.
That's talking about the People's Choice
Award. Yes. Sorry.
I'm talking about the actual subject at hand.
Tune in to Fozzie's other podcast, Misfits of Science Weekly.
I loved that show.
Right, it's on right after Caroline in the City.
There you go.
Yes, thank you. Oh, you did it for me. I appreciate that. I'll take some weight off.
All right, so we're going to look at box office. We're going to look at user scores, and those are two things, plus the People's Choice Awards potential will help us figure out what movies were popular for people. And then we'll look at critical scores and, of course, the awards that they won to figure out what was popular with Hollywood insiders.
We should get a machine that does all. I mean, I know that, like, that we say. Yeah, right. But I mean that we say does this. We're going to feed all this data into the.
You want to just call it something?
As far as I know. Computron 2000, you know, something like that.
Yeah, that sounds good. Let's go with that.
And then you can have a
beep 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 beep. Right? Oh my god.
Like a really cheesy, like.
I am now telling the computer exactly what it can do with a lifetime supply of chocolate. And we are back. Hey guys, how are you?
Hey, missed you.
Yeah, did you have a nice. You have a nice time off. How was President's Day?
Presidential.
Yeah.
Regal.
Yeah. Maddie, did you win any elections?
I was just mad that I didn't have work off. That's all I was.
Oh, you didn't?
Yeah. No.
Oh, that sucks. Sorry.
So, we are discussing Oscars and the relative degree to which they are popular and as opposed to academic, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
So, good way to put it in the Computron computer.
I did. Right? I put it in the, as far as I know, Computron.
Oh, I completely care.
I think that's exactly what I said last week, too.
Beep,
did you remember
boop,
that?
Beep, boop. And, yeah, so here's what I've discovered. So, first, let's talk about some of the stuff. But let's do Fozzie's favorite part and talk about what I didn't take into account.
Aha.
So, first thing I did not take into account. People's Choice Awards.
Oh, why not?
Well, because there is not a lot of there is. It's not exactly apples to apples. Okay, so let me give you an example. So the People's Choice Awards for 2015, right, have already happened. So the favorite movie. Here are the nominees for the favorite movie. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Furious 7.
Oh.
Avengers Age of Ultron,
oh.
Inside Out, Jurassic World, and Pitch Perfect 2. So that's kind of a long way away from our, you know, best picture nominees on the Oscar side. But let's say, for example, since we know that the Oscars tend to like dramas, right?
Yeah.
Let's look and see, like, there is a category called Favorite Dramatic Movie, okay?
Oh, good.
So in the favorite dramatic movie, we have The Martian, which is not a bad start, right?
Right.
Then we have The Age of Adeline.
Who, the what now?
Yep.
Okay. Oh, I think that's one where somebody ages backwards or she's timeless or something.
I don't know. It's Blake Lively and Harrison Ford, not in a Star Wars movie, so who cares?
Yeah, I heard about that, but I don't know.
The Longest Ride, which is I don't know.
Is that when I took my grandma and my mom to Arby's that one time?
it's about professional bull riders.
No.
And it's starring someone named Scott Eastwood. Is that, I don't know if it's
rearranged. Oh, that's a, isn't that a Brett, I mean, a message in a bottle, we live on a beach, and white people almost kissing. Maybe. Yeah, I think that's a Nicholas Sparks movie.
Yeah. Oh, it is. It's based on The Longest Ride by Nicholas Sparks.
Man, so that's good. In
there. And then also we get Straight Outta Compton. So, you know, there's that's something. And there's some cred Shades of Grey.
All right, so
it's just tough to, I mean, you can say what you want about, like, it's fine, I mean, whatever, The Martian won best, your favorite dramatic movie, and Furious 7 won favorite movie, and, like, it's fine, Channing Tatum won favorite actor, and
obviously
whatever, but I don't so but I don't want to say,
isn't that a true snapshot though of your everyman though?
I don't, like, know, man. Is it? I mean, I think that it's a true snapshot of, like, listen, I'm going to be a terrible anthropologist here and just insert a lot of personal feeling, okay? And I'm going to come across as this really snobby asshole, but I'm doing it anyway.
Wait, this is the first time you're doing this?
Right. First time in the history. Get ready, everybody. Mark down the time and date. Andy's going to be snobby.
Before you said it. Last week, I hadn't thought about People's Choice Awards in forever, and you know why that is? Because it airs on CBS, the production is owned by CBS, it's advertised on CBS, and the people who vote for it are the people who watch CBS. So, and that's what it feels like to me. Like, when I look at these winners, it's like, yeah, of course they did. I mean, like, this is like a rundown of the people who had the best appearances on Ellen. Like, it's not... You know what I mean?
Yeah, right?
I just feel like that's...
Is Ellen on CBS?
Isn't she?
I think she's syndicated. I think that's a syndicated talk show.
Well, whatever. Yeah, you get what I'm saying.
I might just blown up your whole theory here,
You get
Andy.
What I'm saying.
But no, it's that demographic. People who, like, my aunt likes Ellen, my aunt likes The Longest Ride or whatever. Like, those are total
hold it. The people that you're describing do not vote for Furious 7 as their favorite movie, though.
I think they would.
Yeah,
I think
they might. Well,
that's their weekend blockbuster.
If you go to the TV show categories, The Walking Dead, Game of Thrones, Grey's Anatomy, and The Voice were all beaten by The Big Bang Theory.
So that's just any TV show? There's no rhyme or reason there.
So, like, I mean, I will agree. Like, obviously, I'd rather watch some of these other shows than Big Bang Theory. But you can't deny that The Big Bang Theory is insanely popular.
I'm not suggesting that it's not popular. In fact, what I'm suggesting is that popularity is not a great measurement for critical acclaim or when.
But then we can't throw out how much money a movie makes them because that's popularity.
No, we're not discounting popularity. What we're saying is, what we're asking is there a gap between popular movies and the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences?
So
and
here, there seems to be.
My point
there's
is
a
saying,
huge gap.
Yeah, my point is that it's very difficult to measure the gap here because it looks immeasurably wide if you just look at People's Choice Awards.
Right.
And I would agree with that. I mean, that's what I was saying before. There is a huge gap between your Joe Everyman going to the movies in the summer, what movie do you want to see versus...
Right, but I mean, I think we're sort of in a separate, like, again, I don't think this is apples to apples. Like, in an award show where, you know, 50 Shades of Grey gets nominated, I mean, it's not even called best movie, it's called favorite movie, right? Which I think, you know, is telling in and of itself. So, you know, again, at the risk of, you know, I think we stopped talking about People's Choice before I come across as like a giant snob.
You already have. You've done your job, sir.
Too late.
I'm proud of you.
But yeah. Anyway, let's move on to something else I couldn't use. So there was a lot of interesting information when we were talking about like what happens after nominations occur, right?
Right. I remember that. But that was mostly me.
That was mostly you. So we were
That's
talking
when I was
about
listening.
Like when and Fozzie's back, everybody. We were talking about, you know, like maybe there was a way to measure like word of mouth and that kind of thing and to see like, you know, do Oscars affect that or you know, how does that work? And while there was some pretty interesting stuff like so American Beauty, for example, came out in September of 1999. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it had a pretty, it wasn't a summer movie, but it was like sort of right in the middle. It's actually like kind of movie no man's land now. Really,
right.
But
September is the February of the fall.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. But it, It made $74 million, which was just about 57, 56, 58% of its total before the nomination, right? But after the nomination, it made $33 million, $34 million.
Ooh.
But it was in more theaters. So, like, per theater, it made less than half per theater after its nomination.
But also you have to take into account how many more theaters it expanded to.
Right, but so obviously, so again, this goes back to a little bit what I was alluding to, where it's like sometimes the people who are distributing the movie and the decisions that, like, the movie theater companies are making are reflected more here than I think what happens with people, right? So again, this is just one, but it was some interesting data. But even when I looked at, like, when we try to break it down in terms of, like, okay, so by the day or whatever, there was just, it was so heavily reliant on when it came out. Right?
Okay.
And especially in recent trends, you know, Oscar movies come out late in the year, right? People want to be on the top of the mind of Academy voters and all that kind of stuff. So if you're trying for an Oscar, you release late in the year. And I don't think we talked about this, but did we talk about what the criteria are for an Oscar movie?
No.
So
I think it has to have a talking dog.
It does have to have a talking dog. How did you? Wow.
I remember that. Are
you reading my notes right now? Yeah. Well, as much as I made fun of the People's Choice movies, like, any of those could have been eligible for an Oscar, right? Because the category for what an Oscar movie is pretty wide. So it has to be over 40 minutes long. So that's like every movie I've ever seen, I think.
Right.
Yeah, there might be some Disney movies that are funny.
That's my birthday video.
Exactly.
Me blowing out the candles.
Exactly. This is for Best Picture, in order to be considered for Best Picture.
Okay.
Over 40 minutes. It has to be publicly exhibited with some technical constraints. Basically, it's like keeping it into a theater. So, like, you know, James Franco can't show a movie over a sheet at his pool or something and then call it Oscar worthy.
We know he's done that, right?
Well, I just feel like he'd be the one that would try.
Yeah.
But we love you, James Franco. It has to be released for paid admission. It has to be released for paid admission in LA County. So that's
interesting.
For at least 7 days. Promoted, quote unquote, in a normal fashion for a movie, whatever that means. And then it has to be released in theaters first. So if you can stream it before you see it in a theater, if it comes out on DVD, you know, Blu-ray or whatever before you see it in a theater, it's a no-go.
Interesting. So that does say first. I don't know if you found this in your information, because there's a lot of movies that are like doing same release, like streaming and theater release.
So it's got to be a day. So
it has to show
for a day, according to all the other criteria. It has to show for 7 days in total, but it only has to be in theaters before everything else for a day.
Wow.
Yeah.
So The Room could have been nominated for Best Picture.
Absolutely.
All of those fits.
See, now it makes me wonder, what is the best movie that didn't qualify? That's something I want to find out someday.
Oh, okay, yeah. Let's look that up real quick, Andy.
Yeah, just beep, pop, doop, pop, pop.
I'm just saying that's a discussion for another time, Bob.
No, it's a good idea. It's a good idea. Point was that it only has to be out for 7 days prior to the end of the year, right?
So
when you're trying to look at the number of theaters that it was in and the number of you know, theaters it went in later and all that kind of stuff. Like, again, a lot of it's dependent on just like the calendar and, you know,
got it.
The rotation of the earth. Right.
Yeah. Like, cause you do hear about that a lot with Oscar films. Like, it got a very limited release in like one area just so we could get considered for an Oscar.
Yeah.
So they'll release it in like two theaters just so that, like, and then they give screeners to the people who pick the Oscar nominees. So they don't have to worry about it.
Right.
So that you're right. That does make sense. What I said was stupid. I apologize, everybody.
Not stupid. It was just
no,
it didn't shake out. Didn't shake out.
All right.
Andy snobby, Fozzie stupid. We got it.
That's what we're coming to the point of with this whole show.
So, as discussed, what we did do was I took critic ratings and user ratings, right? We averaged all that out. And then I also looked at, in addition to user ratings, I looked at what percentage of the total year's box office this movie made. Okay, so rather than say, like, how much money did it make, which is highly dependent on...
Did we say, Andy, how far back you're going?
Yes. So I went back to 1994. 1994 is when the Screen Actors Guild Awards started. I thought maybe I could look at some of those other awards, but basically
also when the internet kind of was.
Yeah, that's true. Where you have the same kind of, you know, mindset really. Mm-hmm. But the really none of the major awards, Golden Globes, SAGs, BAFTAs, Critics' Choice, all that stuff, all sort of were along the same lines as the Oscars. I mean, obviously there were a few, there were some differences, but nothing that suggested, okay, this is more like a people's award, you know?
Right.
So I just kind of let that one go.
Letting a lot of stuff go tonight, Andy.
Well, dude, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes they don't shake out. What do you want from me?
Yeah, that's fair. If the data's not there, the data's not there.
Yeah.
We gotta take what we can get
to the Computron.
So what we looked at is we looked at basically like its position in the box office for that year, right? Mm-hmm. And then we looked. I looked at user scores. Now the position for the box office in the year, one would think, would have a similar problem as the calendar, right? But the truth of it is that, like, lots of times, well, I don't know if I want to give away the card, but there's plenty of times where a movie ranked very high in the box office for the year and also won Best Picture.
Really? That surprises me.
Yeah.
That really does.
And
even though that's kind of my point, what I was arguing.
Right. But even more interestingly, there are times where that happened and critics liked the movie more than users did.
Interesting.
So let's go to our list here, and before we get to talking about who has the most people-y Oscar, let's talk a little bit about the bottom of the list. So first, the way we determined this thing was I took critical scores on averages, and I took average of user scores, and then I also counted the amount of money that film made in the box office that year, because my idea was that even if people rated it highly but there were a bunch of other movies they saw, then it was a little less people-y than a movie that actually drew in dollars. Does that make sense to you guys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can follow that.
So at the bottom of the list here is going to be films that basically didn't do great from people in either side of the coin, right? So that the critics thought this movie was much better than the people who saw this movie thought it was, and in terms of the amount of money it made in the box office that year, pretty low. Now, normally, I think you would expect it to be relatively low, right? Just, I think people's, you know, I think Oscars, you know, they're released late in the year, and you know, it's not about the the box office for them as much,
right? Yeah, so we're talking movies like this year. This is this year. You're talking about this year's Trumbo, right?
Right.
Like, not super well regarded by critics. Like, yeah. I haven't heard anybody talking about it. Not a great box office, but somehow it got nominated.
But the truth is that on average, it's about 40%. Best pictures on average make about 40% of the highest grossing movie that year.
Oh, wow. That's
so that's
impressive.
Less than you would. I mean, that's not as low as you would think, probably, right?
Yeah. So I was that makes me kind of right. Basically, right.
Because that does make you somewhat right. Yeah, you're right. And the gap is not as big as we would think it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. This is a good feeling. I'm going to chase this feeling.
All right. So
not the purple dragon.
So we're going to go with our People's Oscar score, which is, again, a measure of how much people liked it versus how much critics liked it, right? So the bigger your number there, the better you're off. And then addition to that, how much you made in the box office, okay?
Okay.
So bottom of the list, basically tied at the bottom of the list with a negative 18.
Oof,
for the People's Oscar score are Hurt Locker and Shakespeare in Love.
Oh, I like one of those movies.
One, I wonder?
Which one?
Yeah, obviously. I loved Shakespeare in Love. That was my screensaver for a while.
Oh, that's
funny. And I felt really smart liking it because it got all those Oscar noms and everybody's talking about it. I was like, oh, look at me being all smart.
I was a little surprised by that. But the truth is, and Fozzie, this is another, you know, another reason that you're right in this case is that negative 18 is not, that's not a big number, right? I mean, like, we're not talking about like this huge gap here, you know, like if the worst movie is just 18 points under even, where that would mean that Oscar, the Academy, and people basically felt the same about the movie.
Right.
So for it to just be 18 points under, you know, is not, that's not terrible, right? I mean, I think that that does speak to the fact that, you know, there's probably less of a gap than generally perceived, or even that I thought, right?
Right. So on the scale, just so I can understand the math a little bit better, and just not to belabor the point, but if something was only was nominated for an Oscar and critics seemed to love it.
This is winners of Best Picture.
Right, Best Picture. But like to make it, to simplify it, say on a scale, if no people liked it, people scores, if it was a zero and it was 100 for critic scores, that would make it
a negative 100. Yeah.
Got it. Now I understand. Yeah. Okay.
So,
I get
and then
math.
Box office factors into it a little bit. So it's not just the critical scores.
Right.
So, but yeah, basically our people's Oscar score is a measure of how much people liked it more than critics.
Got right? it.
It's a measure of the gap between people and critics.
I totally get math, you guys.
So what number was this on the list? Andy?
Well, this was at the very end. This is the, these are the worst since 1994. Are Hurt Locker and Shakespeare in Love. Okay. Tied like for 21st.
All right. So that's like 22. Ice. Okay. 21st. Okay.
Yeah. 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 So you've gotten negative 18 points. Now, however, we're gonna visit this again when we get to the top of the list, right? Because it doesn't stop at zero, right?
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so rounding out the bottom of the list are a couple of interesting ones. No Country for Old Men, 12 Years a Slave, which surprised me a little bit.
Yeah.
Birdman and The English Patient. So I think it's interesting because movies like The Artist and Argo were ahead of all of those that I just mentioned. So I find that kind of interesting.
Andy, remember us going out to eat ribs, just slabs of ribs, and debating Birdman for hours?
That was
a good night. It was freezing cold.
I remember that.
We went to Dallas Barbecue and talked about Birdman for about 2 hours.
It's
just
true.
Filling our bellies with meat.
Yeah, we were on opposite ends of that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Birdman Attorney at Law is phenomenal.
Birdman. Okay, but let's go up to the top of the list. So, again, people's Oscar score is a measure of how much more people liked movies than critics, right? I will tell you that of the, what is that, the 21 movies, yeah, 21. Sorry. Those guys were tied for 20th, not 21st. So of the 21 movies that we put on this list since 1994, there are only 6 positive scores, meaning there's only 6 times where people have liked what the eventual Best Picture winner better than critics.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, I mean, that makes sense. I would.
Does it? Does it? Does it?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. Right.
So, do you guys want to do some? Do you guys want to do some guessing, or do you just want me to give you the list? How about I give you the list in random order, and you try to sort them?
All right, do it.
You just try to pick the winner. You try to pick the winner.
The winner. Okay.
So I'm going to give you the 6 in no particular order, and you're going to pick the winner.
All right.
Got it.
Crash. American Beauty. Gladiator. A Beautiful Mind, Braveheart, Forrest Gump.
I'm going with Forrest Gump.
Crash, American Beauty, Gladiator, A Beautiful Mind, Braveheart, Forrest Gump. Those are the 6.
That was my first. I said a long time ago.
Yeah, God, I hate to fall. Hate to fall right in line, but I think that it's gonna be Forrest Gump too. Your aunt went crazy for that movie. Everybody's aunt went crazy for that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Spoon feed me American history, baby. That's the way to
do it. Right?
Hey, don't be hating on
6
Forrest
on the list. The lowest positive people's Oscar score at 5.7 is American Beauty. Coming in next with a people's Oscar score of 9, Forrest Gump.
Oh, what? Wow.
5th on the list. So, our remaining 4 are I don't remember the order I told you them in before, so we'll go Crash,
Gladiator,
Gladiator, Braveheart, A Beautiful Mind. Crash, Gladiator, Braveheart, A Beautiful Mind. Repick.
I'd say Braveheart. Every college student had that poster.
I'm going Gladiator just to be contrarian.
All right.
Number four was Crash.
Oh.
Number three is Braveheart.
Oh.
Number two, A Beautiful Mind.
Yes.
Meaning that number one, with a gigantic People's Oscar score of 62.9,
wow,
was Gladiator. Meaning, by a ridiculous amount, people liked this movie way more than critics, and yet it still won the Oscar.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not expecting you to do this information, to do this research, but I'm wondering how political some of that gets. You know, what feeds into a movie winning best picture if it wasn't that critically reviewed? Is it just the gestalt of the people talking about it?
Yeah,
is it,
You
know, is it the director was just due that year, and they always go like director and picture together? Well, that's really interesting.
I mean, if you think back, I like Gladiator. That's a great movie. But again, it's one of those movies I think of, I'm like, not necessarily an Oscar. Like, I don't, like, I forgot it won an Oscar until we start talking about it.
How can you forget Liz Taylor? Like, Gladiator, when she's coked out of her mind on screen. That was great.
Well, what's interesting is that it wasn't first at the box office that year. The first at the box office that year was How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
No, really?
Yeah.
Jim Carrey, baby.
Yeah. Where are we? What is happening with this world?
This is the that you
remember
know
when he was a big deal.
2000 was the year that these films were released. So the other movies that were nominated that year for Best Picture were Chocolat, which is Johnny Depp and Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
That was an awesome movie.
Aaron Brockovich and Traffic.
Oh, right.
Pretty much all of them.
So, I mean, like, they're all good movies, but I don't know that there was any, like, I don't know that there's a ton of political stuff there. Like, nothing overt and obvious to us out in everyday, right?
Yeah, that was Ridley Scott that directed it, too, right?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
One thing that I do think is interesting is that Russell Crowe also won Best Actor that year, and he beat Tom Hanks for Castaway, which was above... Which was also above Gladiator in the box office. So the top five on the box office in 2000 was How the Grinch Stole Christmas, Castaway, Mission Impossible 2, then Gladiator, and then rounding out the top five, What Women Want. So
what a shit year, man. Whoa. That's sad.
Yeah. So I don't know. So that's an interesting, it's an interesting one, but it's a huge, huge difference, right? I mean, like the next highest score for A Beautiful Mind is 25. So it's a gap between from 25 to 63. So in some ways it's almost an outlier, but you know, I'm not going to take that out. Well, that's not true. I am going to argue that a little bit, because I think it's pretty clear that I'm going to have to be wrong at the end of this thing. So like, I'm at least going to make a case for,
well, hold on. What, why do you say you're wrong?
Well, for a couple of reasons. One, that I think what I'm thinking is that there's a bigger gap. There's a big gap between your average person and your average critic when it comes to how they view a movie. But that doesn't necessarily translate into how the Academy votes for a movie.
Right? You're right.
And you know, the critics and the Academy aren't the same people, and I think that while I tend to think of them as analogs, that's not necessarily true, right?
Right.
But in my defense, the median people's Oscar score is -8.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. Is you said only six of them were.
And even if you take the average, so you allow some influence of the really big gap there at the top and take that big 63-point outlier of Gladiator, it's still -1.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that indicates that more often than not, both in actual count and in, you know, the degree, the Academy does think different. You know, it does think more of movies that win Best Picture than people do.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. So that would surprise me quite a bit. The Gladiator at number one.
Yeah,
so
me too.
There's a couple of interesting other data points in here that we could talk about really quick. So there are three movies in this list that were also top at the box office there that year. So Forrest Gump,
right.
Titanic, mm-hmm. and Lord of the Rings: Return of the King. So those are the only Oscars in the last 20 years or so that were also top at the box office, which is kind of surprising to me.
Interesting.
The lowest at the box office was a Hurt Locker. It was 2.3% of the winner of the box office winner that year. So
wow,
pretty gross.
Yeah,
I feel like that movie was like got popular after it was out of theaters almost.
Yeah.
Well, I think that you're probably right. So it was released in June, and I think more people knew about it when it won than when it was out. So, you know, it's a war movie, but it wasn't like a feel-good war movie, right? So I think that it probably didn't fit very well inside June, you know, June releases from that.
It's not a whiz-bam action movie. It's not more thoughtful. And
not at all. So it also came out in 2009, which was the year of Avatar. So
that skews
skews the numbers pretty bad. So you know, it had several things kind of going against it in terms of people watching it. So, you know, again, like we say, satisfaction's not guaranteed. Like, we can't take every possible thing into account here. So, you know, it's possible that Hurt Locker doesn't belong on the bottom of that list, right? But, you know, I think it's still fair to say that, you know, it is one of those cases where when it won Best Picture, I think a lot of people were like, wait, what now? You know,
yeah, right? The what locker?
The
who? You know, we're dropping this episode the day of the Oscars, I think, right? Or shortly before?
Just right before. Yeah, right before.
Yeah.
Big little surprise. So, early episode, everybody.
So, what? I don't know if you have this data, but I think one of the things we were talking about in preparation for the show is, if Mad Max wins this year, will that be the peopliest Oscar ever? And, like, do you have the data for that so far, like, to date?
I do have that data, actually, Fozzie. I'm glad you asked. So,
good.
In a big surprise, and this will make whichever one of us we decide has to admit that we're wrong feel a little better, because the premise of our idea is wrong. Should Mad Max win Best Picture, it would do so with a negative People's Oscar score.
Really?
Yeah, as it turns out, critics love Mad Max more than users do. Now,
delete this podcast
Not unlike Hurt Locker. Not unlike Hurt Locker, which is penalized quite a bit because it came out in the same year as Avatar, and so, like, there's a big gap. Similarly, Fury Road came out in the same year as Star Wars, right?
So,
so there's a big gap, but it's still right at 40%. So it's right inside the average of Oscar worthiness, right? Like, it's not out of the question. So as it turns out, like, we, even though everybody we know really liked Mad Max, critics liked it more. Now,
and I think that's a big issue with this, because I think it's just the people that we know that we see on social media. I think they're the ones really driving this. Maybe I think our view is probably skewed.
It could totally be. I mean, everybody has their bubble, right?
Yeah. But everybody I know is just, like, crazy for this movie.
Well, and also the idea there is that, you know, there could be an issue of expectation, right? Like, there was a little bit of a surprise about Mad Max. I don't think anybody thought it was going to be as good as it was. I mean, I love the franchise and didn't expect it to be that good of a film, right?
Right.
Well, I mean, I'll out myself here is, like, there was a lot of movies that I liked better than Mad Max this year.
Like?
Star Wars.
Sure.
Okay. All right. I give you.
Age of Ultron?
If you ask me which one I'd rather watch right now, I'd say Age of Ultron.
Interesting. Did you see The Martian?
You know what? Actually, another one. You're going to be shocked at this. Ant-Man. I really enjoyed Ant-Man.
Yeah. I forgot it. I forgot that movie as soon as I watched it. It's one of those movies. Yeah. I really enjoyed it when I watched it, and now if somebody asked me a question, I'd be like, you know, I don't know.
I mean, but when you look at some of those, though, it is a year filled with fan service favorites, right? So you've got Star Wars sequel, Jurassic World, mm-hmm. Avengers sequel, Furious 7. You've got Minions, which is a sequel, Hunger Games, Mockingjay sequel.
Wow.
Spectre, which is another Bond movie, Mission Impossible sequel.
Oh my God.
Pitch Perfect 2. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, extra movies in here. So it's not as though like it snuck in on us where in a year where we were just dying to see.
Oh, here's one that I was looking at a list. I was like, I loved Kingsman. I did not think I would, but I really like Kingsman.
Did you like Kingsman more than Mad Max?
Yeah, I did. Mm,
interesting. So, again, our thinking was, and I think part of it is because we sort of tend to think of things from geeky terms too, right? And you know, while comic book movies certainly fall in the geeky realm, and Star Wars obviously does, like stuff like Furious 7, Mission Impossible, James Bond, that kind of thing. I mean, there are definitely geeks about that, but it doesn't really fit inside what we normally think of as geeky stuff.
Right.
Hard post-apocalyptic sci-fi like Mad Max, that's kind of much more in our wheelhouse, right?
Yeah,
right.
Don't get me wrong. I really liked Mad Max. Yeah, I'm just saying that, like, I'm not like gaga that should win Best Picture for sure because it's the best movie I saw this year type of thing.
You know how sometimes when you watch a movie, you can't turn off that little, like, voice in your head about stupid things that shouldn't matter?
Yeah.
Like, and especially for me, a lot of times it's my stupid fucking New York liberal bullshit coming into a movie. So I know that I'm annoying, but Mad Max really bothered me because like the entire movie was like, we have to save the supermodels, and like I was just so sick of them talking about these pretty
pregnant
women,
one of them was pregnant.
One. Yeah. And then there's all those old hags that are living in the village. They're like, oh, no, they're ugly. We don't need to save them. So the movie really bothered me.
I'm just
going to
point out that a film that got a lot of accolades for its strong female character, mm-hmm. its passing the Bechdel test, all that kind of stuff. Fozzie is too liberal to like it because...
I know. I hate myself. I'm owning it. That was amazing. One of the problems with that movie.
That is amazing.
Charlize Theron was awesome in that movie.
She's always awesome.
But we are falling more along critics than actual users here because the gap is big. It's a 9-point deficit for Mad Max in terms of people Oscar. So I'm a little confused where we sit on this. What do you guys think? I mean, again, the positive numbers tend to be much higher, right? You've got mm-hmm. scores of 63, 25, 22, 19, and 9. Like, I mean, like, those are pretty high, whereas the negative numbers, you know, top out at 18, you know, negative 18.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you're only talking about 6 times in 21 years that people have liked a Best Picture movie better than, you know, better than critics have. So, in the spirit of it, Fozzie, I want to give it to you and tell you you're right. But when I'm looking at these numbers right here with the spreadsheet in front of me, I kind of feel like you're the one that has to say it.
Well, but also I think one of the major things that we were talking about was we came into this with the overall question, if Mad Max wins, will that be the most people-y Oscar ever? Just because of our bubble and how we've described this. And we've kind of proven that no, it's not. It wouldn't be the most people-iest Oscar ever. So I think I wouldn't have a problem absolutely admitting that. And I don't think either of you would either, just because that's the data that we've achieved. So do we want to just go with that?
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Like, as far as I know, if Mad Max wins the Oscar, it's not close to the most people-y Oscar ever won.
Done.
Are you not entertained?
I'm playing my guitar. That's how a guitar sounds.
That's great. That's great. All right.
We didn't make Mrs. Rose cry this week.
No, that's true. We didn't make Mrs. Rose cry this week. But despite that fact, you can get in touch with us anytime. What did we leave out? What did we do wrong?
You can email our show at Fozzie's Crazy Left Wing Mindset at asfarasiknow.net.
You can also follow me on Twitter. I'm at IronicallyAndy.
I'm at Fozzie Bear, BARE.
I'm at Matt, AFAIK.
The show's on Twitter at As Far As I Twote. We're also on Facebook. You can find us there. You still love it. I love it. Yeah, so email the show. Let us know what you think. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks where we take on another super geeky question. When Batman fights Superman, does anybody win?
Mm.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for joining us.
It's all right. Yeah. Talk to you later.
Music for our show is provided by Freesound users Herbert Boland, Gullius25, and Luffy. There's lots of stuff like this to read at asfarasiknow.net, including Oscar-related articles like Who Might Be the Next EGOT Winner and the Least Likely Best Picture Oscar. So if you like a real red carpet Armani Tux underdog story, that one's for you. Please rate and review the podcast wherever you found it. It really helps us out, and we appreciate the support.